worship. The Apostle Peter says it this way in his first epistle, chapter 1, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also ought to be holy in all of your conduct. Many of you also know that my oldest son, our second child, Xander, has just left on Friday to live in Ireland for the semester. He's in Limerick, and he's spending his first semester away from home, really away from home. Whose idea was this? God's. That's whose idea it was. So I guess I'm going to trust him with it. But you probably would not be surprised that one of the main conversations he's been having with lots of his peers leading up to his leaving is this: isn't the drinking age 18 in Ireland? Yeah, it is. Turns out. And I had a chance to live in Ireland in college myself, and had a chance to be there multiple times since. And you know what? You know where all of life happens in Ireland? The pubs. Or on a really cool cliff or a rolling green hill or something. But, you know, socially and in a way that engages with people, it happens in the pubs. And so we talked a lot about this. Son, you know, you're going to go there and here's what's going to happen. Here's the decision you're going to have to face. You're either going to not go to the pubs. You're going to go to the pubs and be like everybody else in the pubs. Or you're going to go to the pubs and not be like everybody in the pubs. Pretty straightforward. Now I want you to think of the pubs in Ireland as your life. You're either going to try and stay away from it all and just retreat, or you're going to live in it and be just like everybody else. And trust me, if the way you're spending your time or money or singleness or marriage or parenting or retirement or environment or race relations or poor or immigrants or vocation, if it looks a lot like your neighbors who don't know the Lord, we need to look at that. If it looks a lot like one political ideology, we need to look at that. If it looks like anything that's not Christ and his kingdom, we need to look at that. The Apostle Paul says this is what it looks like to respond to the mercy of God, is that we would not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Our lives would look altogether different from the world, but they would be in the world so that people could see it. And in fact, in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is talking to them about sexual immorality, and he says, look, you should not even eat with somebody who's known to be sexually immoral. But then he goes on to say this, interestingly, something along these lines. But of course I'm talking about people who are in Christ. Because if I weren't talking about people who are in Christ, you'd have to go out of this world, he says. And you can't do that, is the implication. In other words, we got to live in this world. We got to live among those who don't know Christ. We got to live among those who are making friends with the world and who are themselves the world. And yet not be of the world. Not conformed to their patterns, but being transformed by the renewal of our mind. That's the option, conform or transform. By set of circumstances, I had a chance to be the speaker at my high school graduation. And when you get asked to do that, you really realize really quickly, I don't have anything worth saying to anybody. So I guess I got to find some good quotes. And like I got to look up some stuff and just sort of add it all together. And there's a few YouTubers out there, you know, they found a way to say something unique and profound, but the rest of us just have to like cobble together quotes. And so I, you know, happened upon Robert Frost during that time. Probably had read him in English class, or at least I'd probably read the first page and the last page and tried to guess what was in between and write a paper out of it. But many of you know this, he wrote a poem called The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Sorry, I could not travel both. Oh, that we could travel both, right? Can I have my cake and eat it too? Can I have the ways of the world and the ways of Christ? Sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Two stanzas then follow, and then he lands the plane in the fourth one. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that's made all the difference. Now, he's not in any way talking about what Jesus is talking about in this Gospel of Matthew. when he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, but the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. It's what he's saying when he's saying in our earlier gospel text, if you seek to find your life, you'll lose it. Meaning if you look to this world and its ways to find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you'll find it. And how do we execute this? If you're with me still and you say, that sounds good and I'm down for all that, and it's hard to punch a hole in that theory so far, but what does it look like in practice? And the Apostle Paul says, well, it looks like this, renewing your mind. That's how you do it. How do I get transformed into the likeness of Christ according to Romans chapter 12? Well, Paul says the battlefield where it's won or lost is in the mind. And even though it's a popular concept these days, he is not saying to get out of your head. Now, if you were in my head, you would want to get out of my head most days. But what he's not saying is you need to get out of your head. No, he's saying stay in your head and get the right thoughts with you in your head. Right? I mean, good luck trying to get out of your head totally. I don't even know what that would look like. I mean, every once in a while I meet somebody and they're staring off into space, and you're just so sure that they're contemplating the deepest truths of reality. And I say to them, hey, what are you thinking? And they're like, nothing. You're not thinking anything? Oh, the joy that must be. But the battlefield is the mind, and it's not about getting out of your head. It's about getting the right thoughts in your head. There's a whole field of psychology on this. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. And the idea is recognize those things that are chirping around in your brain and bouncing around, and you're like, oh, trust me, I know what they are. And of course, from a psychology standpoint, it simply means to sort of replace those with better ideas. Like, I'm not a loser, replaced by I am a winner. And of course, that's an oversimplification, but that's the process, right? And you don't need God, and you don't need the scriptures, and you don't need his revealed truth, both through the person of Jesus Christ and the scriptures themselves, to know it. You just got to sort of, it's a self-help process. How do I clean up this stinking thinking? Well, just out with the bad and in with the good. Well, it's a little more complicated than that, to be sure, for those who have tried that method. But the Apostle Paul is saying the exact same thing, but he's saying, don't just replace it with other ideas that are better. Replace it with the truth of God's word and of how he has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might know the will of God. Not just so that you might know better thoughts of yourself, so that you might know the very will of God, the good and perfect and pleasing will of God. That's what we want. It can be known. Some of you with me were watching the Carolina game last night. And I guess I'm a Tar Heel fan now. I'm sorry. So I'm watching the game hoping that Drake May and his team wins, but it turns out that there's this player that I'd never heard of that the commentators decided to make a big deal of. His name is Devontae Walker. And he's evidently like a really great wide receiver, and hopefully we'll find out soon enough. But he wasn't playing last night, and all kinds of people were wearing his jersey and trying to advocate for him because, and I'll save you the details for another day, but he wasn't able to play because of a rule that the NCAA put in place, and everybody thought was a really bad rule, especially as it applies to his situation. But the story on it this morning was that Mac Brown, the coach of the Tar Heels, was saying that I was really concerned about him this past week. And he went on to say, I was really concerned about his mental health. And you know what's happening in our world today? And Christians have just as much likelihood, if we're not careful, to fall into this trap, is that the mental health crisis that's true in our culture today, we can somehow think that Devontae Walker needs a process other than the one the Apostle Paul is talking about. He doesn't need a process different from the one that the Apostle Paul is talking about. If he's having a hard week because he's been suspended and he's struggling with all the lies in his head, you know what he needs? He needs to not conform to the patterns of this world and be transformed by the renewing of his mind in Christ. And so do you, regardless of what your setting is. And so do your coworkers and your family members and the people who are struggling with mental health issues There's nothing new under the sun. The issue is they're struggling, conforming to the patterns of this world, and they need to be transformed by the renewal of their mind, and so do I. That's the process for Devontae Walker, and that's the process for you, and that's the process for me. It's the truth of God being renewed in our minds in such a way that we become more and more like Christ. As a man thinketh, so he is. Well, that's Proverbs 23:7, but James Allen turned it into a self-help book. The Apostle Paul says it this way: we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the lordship of Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, he says, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent or worthy of praise, think on these things. Walked into my kitchen recently and saw this mug. I don't know how it had gotten there. I'm sure one of my kids picked it up somewhere. But the mug says, drink happy thoughts. I'm like, oh, go, you know, like, how like, refill, please. I'm on a drink happy thoughts. And it's like it's the stuff of Pinterest and Etsy and Blackline and Hobby Lobby, like drink happy thoughts. The Apostle Paul is saying, drink holy thoughts. Get holy thoughts in there. Eat holy thoughts. Sleep holy thoughts. Live holy thoughts. And as Jesus says to Peter, set your minds on the things above and not on the things of this world. Beloved, all of our life is meant to be worship in response to God's mercy. May it be so evermore. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, indeed we bless you this morning that you have made us in such a way that our minds can be renewed. And then as our minds are renewed, we are transformed into the likeness and image and character attributes of Christ. But oh, how tempting the patterns of this world are. And so, God, would you give us grace afresh today? Help us to walk in the spirit that you have given us, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Help us to flesh this out in our bodies to the end that you would receive acceptable and holy worship. Amen. I wonder if you'd stand with me that we might respond to this good news by saying together the words of the Nicene Creed. This is what the church throughout history and throughout the world believes, and we believe it too. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us come before our Heavenly Father in prayer.
With all our heart and all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we praise you for your creation and for all you richly provide. Enable us to live in such a way that your majesty and mercy are seen by all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All governments rule under your authority. May they work for the good of those they rule, seeking your justice and peace in every law and action. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Enable those who are